What's the one thing that the energy transition needs to succeed? If you think the answer is technology or investment, then you're wrong. The right answer is people. Because without people, everything else is just theory. It may seem obvious, yet the people factor of the energy transition is too often overlooked. People power is the real fuel that will drive the energy transition. Someone who knows this only too well is Adriana Villalobos Mendez, who is Global Human Resources Business Partner at Siemens Energy. My colleague Kelvin Ross, who is Editor-in-Chief at Enlit, sits down with Adriana to find out more. I'm Pamela Larg, and this is the Energy Transitions Podcast.
Adriana, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Kelvin.
You say that you fuel strategy with people power. So define and explain people power for me.
So the way that I see people power is this combination of not only the skills and competencies that a person is bringing to a job, but it's also what makes that person unique, right? So we are thinking about even the little quirks, the little things of our personalities that make us who we are. And with this, we are bringing not only our own selves to work, but with this, we are harnessing the business strategy, right? I mean, not only on the skill set side, but also by bringing in and making this an environment that is more welcoming and attractive for people to join us.
So interesting. So if you're looking to actually identify and then emphasize those, that uniqueness and quirks, as you say, then you're not trying to mold people to a particular mold. You're trying to bring them out to get the best out of them by allowing them to be them.
Absolutely. I'm convinced that for people to thrive and be at their best, they need to be themselves. And that is why when I think of people power, I look way beyond the requirements and the descriptions, for example, that a job description might have, that yes, that might be the exact fit or an 80% fit to that role. But the other side, what makes this person who they are, is for me the most important thing when I'm thinking about bringing someone into a team, and to ensure that they are not only in an environment where they feel that they can be themselves, but also that we are actively creating this psychological safe space for people to be themselves. Because when we have people at their best, they perform at their best. And that necessarily has a business impact.
And in terms of unlocking people power, and I was going to ask you, how do you unlock it as a business for the benefit of the business? But first of all, how do you unlock it for the benefit of the person themselves? Because they perhaps might have come to you from a previous job where no one unlocked their people power potential.
It starts with transparency, I'll say. Creating a transparent and psychological safe environment where the person can find out that they can be their true selves. And by that, they will start feeling comfortable. They will start bringing more ideas. They will start also by consequence innovating because they feel at ease as well. And that for me is fundamental when you are creating any work environment by that matter, right? Is creating that environment when people say, okay, it's okay for me to be here. It's okay for me to say, what is that I'm thinking? It's okay for me to bring new ideas into the table because I know that I'm in a place that will foster that those ideas, that will allow me, even if those ideas are not the right ones, it's an environment that is allowing me also to fail quickly and learn fast, right?
I was going to ask that. So how important is it to encourage people, to allow people to not be scared of failing? Or to actually encourage them to try, knowing that 50% of the time they might fail?
I think it's fundamental. I mean, it's part of life as well. If everything was supposed to be perfect, I think that it will probably either be too easy or too boring. A lot of great ideas and a lot of innovation happens through failure. And creating an environment where people say, hey, it's fine. I didn't make it this time, but I learned something out of this. That for me is the fundamental aspects of failure. I learned something out of this. And because I learned something out of this, then I can do it different the next time. And if it take me 100 iterations, then it took me 100 iterations. But I made it there.
Mm. We're here talking about the energy transition, or mm-hmm. we're talking about people in the context of the energy transition, which is a workforce transformation. And, you know, often that workforce within a company will go through a cultural transformation. Now, you've worked on cultural transformations. Mm-hmm. So What's the important things to get right about them, and what can go wrong if you don't unlock people power, as it were, for a cultural transformation?
I think that the first thing that we need to consider when we're talking about cultural transformation is that it's not a top-down approach. Cultural transformation starts with people, and it starts by creating those environments that we all want to work with. I think that when we have managed to get that idea into people and to understand why is it that we're transforming, that is when things start to change. When we challenge the way that we have been working, when we challenge the way that we have collaborating, when we challenge the way that we connect, I think that that is when the real change and transformation starts. But again, it cannot be a mandate. People need to feel that there's a need as well behind this transformation. And when we go on the other end, what can go wrong? Where can we find a pitfall? I think that especially in this topic of cultural transformation, it's important to understand and to accept that this takes time. When I have seen this potentially fail, or when I have seen this not working, is when we want an immediate answer, which I can understand because we live in an immediate culture, but change and transformation takes time. And by time, I don't mean 1 year, 2 years. No, we are looking potentially even at 10 years in some occasions. It can even take a full entire generational change to have a successful transformation. And another thing that I think that is important is that you also need to address the detractors. I think that it's very easy to look behind the detractors. You will always have them in whatever that you do. But when we talk cultural transformation, it's not only about bringing all of the promoters and motivating them to drive this change. It's also about listening to the detractors and understand what is it that for them is not working. Where is potentially the fear of this transformation coming from? Not with the intention of changing their minds, but with the intention of listening and understanding what is it that we could also do better in the other end of the motivators, so that we can drive this successfully as an organization.
Interesting. Siemens Energy has gone through a cultural transformation itself. Now, I remember I interviewed Karim Amin a few years ago when Siemens Energy launched.
Yeah.
And he told me the most important thing that they had to do was get the cultural mindset right in the company, because everyone thought of the company as the gas turbine guys. And he felt lots of people in the company thought of themselves as the gas turbine guys. So having undergone that transformation, I'm wondering how you perpetuate that cultural transformation that has gone on to new hires who join.
So I think that for new hires who join, and also taking on that comment from Karim, that actually resonates with me. I think that it's important to offer to new hires a possibility and an environment where they not only can thrive by all of these aspects that I mentioned before, but that you can give the opportunity to really know what is it that we're doing end to end, right? To embed them into the organization from the very beginning, to allow them to understand what kind of organization are we driving. I give you an example. A couple of years ago, I was working with a group of new hires that we had on the grid area, right? And they were extremely driven, extremely motivated. And I loved that. I loved that they were so motivated about this grid topic. But it was important as well to remind them that we work in a very large organization with a lot of opportunities. So this cross-business experience, that for us at Siemens Energy is key. So not only across internationality as well, that possibility to know how other cultures and countries are driving the business, but that cross-business experience, allowing people to understand how we do things in gas services, how we are doing things in transformation of industry, how we are driving business in grid technologies. That opportunity, I think that is key also for new hires to understand that the cultural transformation is not only this day-to-day how we work together in conversation and collaboration that I was mentioning, but it goes beyond. It is entirely how we are working as an organization end-to-end in the energy transition.
Mm-hmm. You talked about different regions there, and it suddenly struck me. It's interesting. Is a cultural transformation different, or does it come with different quirks depending on the culture of the country that you're working in?
That's a good question, and I have a very personal opinion about it. And my answer will be yes, it does. And that is why also us at Siemens Energy is so important that whatever is it that we're launching, whatever initiative, whatever, in this case, for example, cultural transformation, we are mindful about where is it that we're doing this. And we are also willing to adapt, right? I come from Latin America. That was my region for many years. And then I had the opportunity to move to North America, to Europe. And I've seen how the same idea doesn't land the same way in every region, right? So that openness to, I used to say, tropicalize it, is very important. That openness to say, okay, for ABC said reason, this might not work here the same way. How can we tweak it in a way that it resonates with the people in that specific region? And I think that that's fundamental, because then again, it loses kind of that that feeling of mandate, that feeling of it's coming from the top, it's coming from headquarters. No, it suddenly becomes something that is ours too. And I think that that is one of the most important things when we talk about the energy transition, is considering the regional side of it.
Mm, yeah. One of the biggest transformations going on at the moment in the energy sector is the implementation and of artificial intelligence, particularly generative AI now. Mm-hmm. How do you reassure and educate your workforce that digital developments like that, and particular AI, is a friend and not a foe?
This is, a really important question, and something that comes up continuously as well. I think that there are reasons why to have fear. And I think that the first thing as well, Calvin, that we need to do is accept the fact that there are things that will come with this transition into AI and other technologies.
Do you have fear about AI?
No, I don't. I see it as a fantastic enabler. I mean, and that is how I also promote it. As an enabler, not a replacer. Right? That for me is important to have in mind. And I think that when we also share this idea, while also remaining conscious and vulnerable about the fact that it's fine to have fear, and that we also need to accept transparently and openly that there will be jobs that AI and technology can take from us. But instead of thinking what they are taking from us, it's also important to think what is it that this kind of technology can give us? How can it foster our performance? How can it allow us to think in different ideas and create even different roles? And I think that that's, for me, also on the HR side, that's the thrilling part, is imagining that there's so much undiscovered yet, so much undiscovered, which will mean that we will have new roles immediately opening up. I was talking to someone earlier today, and I said, 10 years ago, you will not have a data analytics team sitting in your organization. You won't. Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes, of course, we were collecting data, but were we analyzing it the right way? No, I mean, probably not.
And presumably you do have a data analytics team. And so there's now a need to hire data scientists and people like this, who, as you say, 10 years ago, were largely unheard of in the energy sector.
Yeah.
So how do you go about recruiting those people? How do you go about making a company like Siemens Energy and the wider energy sector attractive to these people?
I think it's important also that in this case, profiles like this that are connected to data, that are connected to AI or technology, understand that they can apply to multiple industries, right? And that they also understand the fact that in an industry like ours, in energy, they can have the utmost impact. So that for me is really important when we are attracting people in every area, but connected to our market, is the kind of impact that you can have when you're working for companies dedicated to the energy transition. And I think that when people are able to understand that, and they are able to know as well, how is it that they can give back? So all of that knowledge that they have applied to our industry, what will it mean exactly, right? How can they impact this industry? So I think that offering that and offering this vision is important. And that is also what we do at Siemens Energy, right? When we talk about attraction of people, we are very clear about what is our purpose as an organization. What is it that we want to do, right? And why is it that we need you? And I think that when you can convey that message and make people feel valuable and know that their insights and their knowledge matter, I think that is when the little switch comes up and say, okay, how can I do this? How can I bring my data analytic background and understand or help this organization change?
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing with AI. You know, it can generate this you know, mind-blowing results and data. But you still need someone to interpret the data and know which data is valuable and which data isn't. So that's really interesting. In amongst this digital landscape and the energy landscape where technology is often at the forefront and we have artificial intelligence, why is it so important to be a people person and have people skills?
Because ultimately, we will continue to work with people. I'll tell you something that a professor of mine told me the first year of university, first class, he said to all of us, you should all have gone into STEM careers. And we ask, why? I mean, we were studying to be lawyers, so we asked, why? And he said, because numbers are exact, people aren't. And because people are not exact, and because there's no formula behind people, you necessarily need to become a people person to really empower and to really allow all of this ideas, creativity, skills, competencies that this individual unique spring to thrive. And if you're, and I'm not sorry, but you have to be a people person.
And presumably you love your job because people aren't exact.
Can you tell that I love my job? I love my job. And I love that people are not exact, because that is exactly what is driving, again, as I said at the beginning, topics like innovation. So this is what is allowing us also to think differently, to fail, to question ourselves. And this, with tools like AI and other technologies, they are bringing us to more of an exactitude. And part of this is also not being that exact, because that is really what creativity will boost.
Well, Adriana, thank you for being very exact with us today and opening up a bit the world of workforce in the energy sector. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thanks for joining us for this talk. If you enjoyed it, please subscribe to the Enlit Energy Transitions podcast to hear a lot more. You'll find all the details at enlit.world.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Energy Transitions podcast, brought to you by Enlit and Friends. That's a wrap from me, Pamela Log, and our producer, Kamo Motse. We hope you can join us next time. Visit enlit.world or subscribe for more episodes.